State of Our Nation with Athol Williams on Classic 102.7 in Gauteng and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
I'm Athol Williams, and this is the State of Our Nation. This is the show for the thinking South African. It's an analytical show where we want to inform ourselves, and so looking for facts or claims backed with facts and evidence. We want informed views. The plan is each week for 12 weeks, we will tackle a different aspect that forms a picture of the state of our nation and then repeat the 12-week cycle. This, I'm hoping, will give us an additive view of the picture of the true state of our nation and grow our understanding of what it will take to build a great nation. So we are not here to shout at each other. We are here to listen, to engage constructively, and form this view of the state of our nation. Well, this is the inaugural show, so it's quite a landmark occasion for us. And I'm really excited to have two really esteemed guests with me today. Firstly, I'm joined in the studio by Busani Traweni, who is the Deputy Director General of Policy in the Presidency. Busani, welcome.
Thank you very much, Ansel.
I'm also joined on the phone by from Cape Town because he's involved in Parliament at the moment. He's the chairman of the Finance and Fiscal Commission, Professor Daniel Plankies. Daniel, welcome.
Thank you. Good evening, Athol. Good evening, Busani.
Good evening, Professor.
Gentlemen, we have the show at an opportune moment in time because we've just had the President's State of Our Nation or State of the Nation address. And of course, there's been a lot of debate around the address. Busani, perhaps to start with you, it seems like one can never be satisfied with the State of the Nation address because each of us listened to it with our own particular, and rightly so, but our own particular area of interest. And so I look at it from my particular interest, let's say education, and I think, wow, that was very underwhelming in terms of what the president spoke about. Others will look at it in terms of other areas. Is the state of the nation something that we're always going to be disappointed with?
You know, thanks. It's a very difficult one. First, maybe let's go back to the question, what is the state of the nation address? Now, in a political calendar of 5 years, there will be 6 state of the nation addresses. So there's a state of the nation address that inaugurates a term of office, as we've just had now, and it's been tradition now. It happens around, you know, May or June, since 1994. If elections are held in April or in May, there will be a state of the nation that inaugurates an administration.
Right.
And then in every February, there will be a state of the nation which deals with largely a reflection of what happened in the year before and the year, you know, that is starting. So what is expected then of a president in a state of the nation address that inaugurates an administration like the one we've just had now? Remember, we had one in February.
Right.
But the one that we had now is for a president to say, this is where the country is now, and over the next 5 years, this is how we think we are going to change the reality of South Africans on the basis of the electoral mandate. So you hear more and more references to the manifesto, to the electoral mandate, because it is an inaugural one,
right?
For this particular term. So had there been any other party that will have won elections, the president of that party will have read the State of the Nation address that will speak a lot more to the manifesto of that party, because that becomes a compact. Now, once you win elections and you become president and you read the State of the Nation address based on the manifesto, that becomes a social compact. It means it's no longer a party program of action. It's a national program of action, which means even those who did not vote for you will hold you accountable for it.
Right.
Now, there are variations where it also depending on style and all of that. But in the main, what people are expecting in a State of the Nation address like this one is to say, this is where the nation is today, and this is where we are taking the nation to over the next 5 years and even beyond. And because in this instance, the president reads it and also makes reference to the NDP, which expires in 2030. So that's where he will talk about, you know, 10 years, because that actually coincides with the 10th anniversary of the National Development Plan.
Right. Sunny, thanks for that. Daniel, if I'm a citizen, I've heard the President's State of the Nation address. I've heard some of the debates around it, and I'm just confused. How should we as citizens think about or form a view of the state of our nation?
Thanks very much for that question. I was just reminded earlier in the conversation that because of the different views that was expressed over the since Thursday till yesterday, that a state of the nation essentially is about how different people interpret the situation within its own country, whether it's economic, political, social, and otherwise. And like Karl Marx has said, that the philosophers interpret the world in different ways, and we have lots of philosophers in South Africa, whether they sit in parliament, whether they're on the streets, whether they in subbeans, whether they wherever they are, all interpret the world. But the issue is about how do we change it? And a friend of mine reminded me this evening or earlier that what a president managed to do is to sketch from an authoritative point of view, based on a number of sources, what are the problems that the country is currently facing. And based on that, he then identified what are the priorities. And then following through on the priorities, he then sketched a number of plans to be typical interventions to be made. Now, needless to say that the conversations that has gone on yesterday in the newspapers didn't actually help much to be able to solidify the position that the president has been stating.
Mm.
And it was then placed on the president himself to be able to definitively articulate. I mean, here and there were ministers and also members of the opposition that gave some good ideas as to what could be done. But the long and the short of it, the president then had to step up to the podium again and effectively solidify his own state of the nation address.
Right.
And I thought that today the president put all together, and even the comments that he's made, managed to put what are the key modalities to be put into place, what are the interventions to be made, what are the plans to be unfolded actually to address some of the matters that he's identified, which people have identified. How do people supposed to see it? I think it will be wrong to suggest that, remember we have this thing, that if you write something and place it in front of people, they will attach their own interpretation based on their own social baggage, economic baggage, and also how they see things. I think a State of the Nation address is exactly what the president intended, if not, that there should be a national dialogue on the State of the Nation address. Every single South African has a view.
Yeah.
Has a view about how things should be done, and we should all welcome that. What I like about what the president did on Thursday and yesterday and today again, he's managing to reach out across the aisles. He's saying to the, he's actually disempowering the opposition and doing saying, listen, this is not my country, this is our country. We all need to work together on this.
Yeah.
We all need to fix this.
Daniel,
it's also pushing that citizenship again back into the center, because citizens has been in many ways disempowered over the years.
You know?
The citizens have taken control and being control of their own destiny.
The impression one gets is that we're not listening to each other. And I think that's a general malaise we've got in South Africa. We talk past each other. We're not listening to each other. And so this idea you present of even how do I listen to the State of the Nation address? Because if I go into it with my filter of my political leaning, and part of what Busani is saying is this is now our compact, you know, of the administration with the country, not a political manifesto anymore. But if I go into it listening with my political lens or my lens in my narrow view, right? Because I'll say, well, he didn't say enough about, you know, foundation phase education, and you might say, well, he didn't say enough about healthcare. Do we have to have a different set of lenses as we listen to the address and as we think about the state of our country?
Were you asking me or Busani?
Daniel, you go in and I'll get Busani to comment on that as well.
Of course we do. Of course we do. We do have different lenses. Remember, we come out of a history where people have different views around different things, and it's got to do with how highly politicized African society is. In fact, an international assessment some years ago indicated that Africa was probably the most highly politicized country in the world. So So we all have different lenses, but those lenses are filtered. People look through those lenses in terms of where they stand. Are they affected by inequality? Political, but also economic inequality. Remember, the masses can fight for what they want in terms of marches and protest actions and that. The middle class and upper can withhold their taxes. So people look at those lenses quite differently. Mm. So, yes, we will have different lenses, but there comes a point where the custodian of the state, which is the president, on all of our behalf, needs to be able to say, this is the way that I've listened to all of you. These are my priorities, and this is the government priorities, and this is the way we're going to pursue these things. And I think what needs to happen, and I got a sense the president said there will be continuous engagement with communities. And we're going to need that, because the next time is going to be local government elections, and you don't want, during a period of local government elections, social protests the way we've seen it.
Yeah.
So yes, I think it's better that people have different lenses, but then there's also a point where the president say, I've heard you, I heard your interpretations, and this is the path. And I like what one of the opposition members said, that the president needs to make decisions.
Mm.
And today the president indicated, but I've made these decisions, and I'm regurgitating some of the decisions that I've made.
Yeah. So Bisani, part of what Daniel's saying is this idea that a healthy democracy is one where ideas are contested, and we have these different lenses.
Well, yeah, I mean, South Africa, starting if you read, you know, Karl Marx, it talks about South Africa in the Communist Manifesto. In fact, Adam Smith talked about South Africa, you know, as well in the Wealth of Nation. And it's always been understood, I mean, from, you know, centuries ago, that this idea of South Africa would be a contested idea for a variety of reasons. And where we are today as a country that is 25 years old, we need just to imagine if you've got a 25-year-old child, what's been going on in a child, you know, in a young adult who's 25 years old, the kind of stuff that people will go through as they reach their teens, you know, and at 25, typically people begin to slow down, begin to reflect, and they begin to dream about the next phase of their life, right? If you're 25 and unemployed, you know, levels of depression, it becomes very serious.
Mm.
If you're 25, you've had an opportunity to go to school, you begin to worry about finding work. If you, you know, 25, some people begin to think about, you know, families and so on, because we reach a particular stage in life where you're not going to think the same way you were thinking when you were 18, you know, as it were. So South Africa is like that 25-year-old, right? Our identity is formed. We now beginning to make material, you know, demands on the state, and people are entitled to those, because people are now more worried about their future. We might have just been partying for the past, you know, few years, which is what, you know, typically young people will do. And now we're thinking about the future. And, I mean, the ideas will be contested, which is great. The worst that could happen, and I was telling one, you know, economic analyst today, the worst that could happen to South Africa is for ideas to die. Because when ideas die, leadership will become complacent, innovation will die. In fact, what you will have is a dictatorship.
Right.
So sometimes there are choices in a democracy where we allow these ideas, you know, contending ideas, you know, to take place in society, but then there has to be a firm leadership, and the president must make those decisions. So when the president says, on the basis of evidence available before all of us, that in fact we must begin to imagine South Africa where we be, it's inevitable. Given the urban transition taking place in South Africa today, given migration trends, you know, given the kind of you know, intensification that is taking place in the next few years, you're going to have to do it anyway. By the way, given the growth, and the minister Mandasha said yesterday, there are mining projects that are on the pipeline. Now, when we have these mining projects on the pipeline, it means inevitably there's going to be new settlements. There's going to be new towns, there's going to be new cities.
Right.
So what the president is saying, you must plan those things up front.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, ideas are important to help the nation to imagine a future beyond their current, you know, circumstance.
Right. But if I can use your 25-year-old metaphor there, right? It feels like this 25-year-old was promised a whole bunch of things, and he's now saying, you know, you older guys are not delivering. right? And so there's this different sense amongst the youth of almost becoming disjointed from the rest of us, and them saying, you haven't delivered, right? So why should we buy into this dream that you're now painting?
Which is why then the major focus of the State of the Nation address was around issues that are concerning young people. Mm. In fact, when you talk about gender-based violence, the majority of those who experience it is young women. Hence, he spoke about it. When you talk about, you know, education and health, it affects young people. You talk about employment, skills, and so on. When you talk about cities of the future, all of those things have a direct impact on young people. It is a concern, the levels of unemployment facing young people in South Africa today. Mm. And government needs to strike a balance. You strike a balance where you respond with policies and programs that cater for the young people you wish to have, the young people you imagine, those who will go through early childhood education today because you then are determining their future going forward. And also balance that with dealing with the young people you have today, mm. which is the young people that you are talking about.
Right.
And that is why you need to respond. That is why when you go around and see young people wearing yellow, orange overalls who are in an expanded public works program, for someone it's like a pittance. For those young people, there was no other opportunity other than that. It means there's a guaranteed income that they are getting. They are in a particular, work employment, guaranteed employment program. They may be getting a skill there. And in fact, it helped them transit because it's expensive for young people even to look for work.
Yeah.
So when the president says, no, we must scrap this thing of entry requirements, for entry level jobs, the work experience is required. Young people can't buy experience.
Yeah.
It's an important symbolic, a thing that says in government for entry level jobs, experience must not be a requirement. And it will open up opportunities. Once you apply that into the private sector, it changes the dynamics. Many young people, by the way, who are employed in the private sector, especially young women, mm. young black women, are not earning the same salary as their white and even black male counterparts. So when we say we must make sure that there must be equal pay for equal work, it will liberate a lot of young women who may be employed in entry-level jobs in the private, because in government, everybody knows how much everybody earns, and it's pretty much transparent. So all of these must be seen as part of a combination of measures designed to address young people where they are in the stages of their life, whether it's those who are still within the education system today or those who are actually at home unemployed looking for more opportunities.
Coming ahead, yeah. Daniel, we've mentioned Karl Marx, we've mentioned Adam Smith, and I like the sort of variety of ideological approaches and again, frameworks we're using to think about the state of our nation. There's been an argument that says the president, as a president, he's got to think about the different constituents, and a simplistic view, a simplistic dichotomy of South Africa is this powerful business with a strong capitalist drive, and then the poor who are suffering inequality and poverty, and the president has to try and navigate between these two. Is that a realistic dichotomy, or is that a false dichotomy? And how do we think about those two very real camps?
No, that is a realistic dichotomy. But remember, the whole state of the nation is also about the social contract, like Poussin is saying. It's the contract between the haves and the have-nots, and the person that stands in between that to be able to bring about that bridge is the president of the country. There has to be a focus on, I mean, you can't have a situation where we're reaching a point of 0.7, close to 0.7 of Gini coefficient. Deep inequalities.
Yeah.
In fact, we're dealing with stubborn poverty in South Africa. That's on the one hand. We have a situation that you've got 10.3 million persons between the age of 15 and 24. Of which 54% of them, approximately 3.3 million, are not in employment, education and training. So it basically implies that we got young South Africans that is disengaged from the labor market, but also disengaged from many things that are happening in society. So that's a serious problem.
Mm.
And it needs to be tackled. And the majority of those youngsters are coming from families who are affected by intergenerational poverty. So if you have this argument coming through that says my mother and my father was in poverty, and my grandfather was in poverty, and now I'm also sitting in poverty. It's real issues. It's real issues, and there needs to be a way to break it. And hence the importance of government taking the lead. And my view is that jobs can't be created by the markets alone.
Yeah.
The state must also create jobs. The state must put in proper, decent employment programs, public works programs. That's far better than what we have now. When I grew up, we had people working in the streets. Artisans, we had, and the president has spoken about that, who managed to get a job and an income, which in many ways restored dignity to a household, which is quite critically important. So you need to have a continuous social contract between the citizens of South Africa, business and multinational companies or national companies in the country, and the state.
Right.
And the president is quite right that there needs to be a way to find interventions. On the one hand, creating a stimuli for economic growth and for emergence of new employment, and not old jobs, because we're not going to be able to create new old many expand in terms of old jobs. We need to create new jobs that is not currently in the market.
Yeah.
And the state needs to give direction, and it will help if DTI. The Department of Science and Technology, higher education, and a range of social actors look at how we're going to be able to create jobs, with new jobs in the South African society, given that the market is slow economic growth, very slow negative growth that we're finding ourselves in, but also that we have this impatience. South Africans are extremely patient.
Yeah.
And they're extremely patient with successive governments from the time of our father, the President Mandela, to date. But that patience is going to run out, and we all know that.
Exactly.
So it is important that what the President is saying is to bring that social contract to life, to make sure there's investment that comes from government, but simultaneously there needs to be investment that comes from the private sector.
Right.
So that social contract is important.
Daniel, something... We've got only 5 minutes left. It's amazing how quickly the time goes. Something I'm keen to do every week on the show is get my guests to put their heads on the block or stand up and be counted in terms of a view of the state of our nation. So you can tell me you think we're in a good state, or we're in an okay state, or we're in a bad state, and it's getting better, it's the same, or it's worse. So you could say, actually, the state of our nation is, you know, we're in a great state and it's getting better, or it's, you know, really bad and it's getting worse. What's your view, Daniel? And then we'll close with Bassani's view.
I think we're in trouble.
Right.
We're in trouble, and there's an acknowledgement that of the nature and extent of the trouble, and there's also a plan to get us all out of it. And I think we'll get out of it. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a hard 12 to 18 months going forward.
Yeah.
But at least the captain, remember there can only be one captain on the boat. The captain in this instance is the president, and he's going to be able to get us out of these troubled waters if he sticks to his plan. And clearly, as a politician, he will have to manage other interests.
Sure.
But the greater interest is we need a stable South African society, and we need economic growth.
Absolutely. Bassani, your view of the state of our nation?
Well, I think we are critical but stable.
Okay.
And there's few things we must take into consideration in this regard. Number one, South Africans have fired the warning shot. South Africans have fired the warning shot, and therefore politicians know what is at stake. There are examples here, you know, in this use Gauteng.
Mm.
They fired a warning shot, and in some instances it could have been fatal shots, that have demonstrated that what citizens can do and that they can actually vote you out. Right? And this is important because politicians are now recognizing that unless we change the fortunes of people, remember, people are not struggling for ideas. They are struggling to see their socioeconomic conditions improve.
Yeah.
And people, South Africans, are sufficiently politically conscious to now know that they can exercise their right to actually vote you out of power if they think that which you do is not helping to change their material well-being. By the way, there's a reason why a majority of people who voted were women. That's because most of the social programs that are being implemented by the state are having larger impact on women, and therefore 54% of them remain active and they vote.
Right.
So we're critical but stable. I think government has recognized what needs to be done. With the president and his vision, is mobilizing all sectors of society, is mobilizing the state to make sure that we get to implement, because people are now saying cow leather, they're no longer singing Tuma Mina. They want things to be done faster, but with quality.
Well, fantastic. Gentlemen, thank you for these really insightful thoughts. I'm sorry the time has gone by so quickly. The consensus here is the state of our nation is bad or critical, but stable. What's your view? Share your views on Twitter and on our Facebook page. Well, join me again next week as we talk about the state of our democracy. I want to thank my guests, Busani Agweni and Daniel Plaikis. Thanks for joining us this evening to share your informed views. You've been listening to The State of Our Nation, the show for the thinking South African. I forgot my name for a second. I'm Athol Williams, and I'll speak to you next week. Good night.